Welcome to the Align Business Podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Kerslake, CEO of personal branding agency, Pinegate Road, and business coach to online service providers, coaches, and educators. I know that you believe that living a great life is so much more than the business that you lead or the money that you make. Each week, we'll dive into what it actually takes to live an aligned life with a business that supports it. Let's do this. This show is brought to you by the Align Business Academy. Are you so ready to go all in with your online business and hit six figures this year in a way that feels fulfilling and true to you? Apply now for the Align Business Academy. This is our signature program that helps you scale your online business with one-on-one and community support, a framework for learning all things online business, and a proprietary three-part system for scaling while working way less than you are now. Say hello to more freedom, income, and impact. Apply now at pinegateroad.com/academy. That's pinegateroad.com/academy. Hello, Liz.
Hello, hello.
It is so good to have you here.
I am so happy to be here. I'm good. Yay. Yeah. It's like finally awesome. A reasonable temperature in Oregon. We had a crazy heat wave a few weeks ago, and now it's like a balmy 85 and sunny.
Wow.
So I'm not sweating sitting in my house anymore.
Well, that's exciting.
Yes.
It's actually really cool out today, and I went on a long walk and I was like, this feels amazing. And
yes.
My headphones are actually like still sweaty. I like put them on. I was like, ooh, that damp, weird headphone feel, but also it means a good walk happened. So
yeah, there you go.
It's good.
I love that. I love that.
All right. So for those of you who do not know Liz, she's actually in our company. She's one of our success and strategy coaches, and she is also the, do you want to explain what you do? Actually?
Yeah.
Sorry. So,
That's fine. I'm a nutritionist, a pre and postnatal coach. I'm a mom. I'm a birth nerd is basically what it comes down to. So, I work a lot with career-driven millennial parents. I help people cut through the BS that comes with like mommy marketing and Pinterest perfection and help folks have an empowered, healthy pregnancy and postpartum experience so they can actually build a life that, I don't know, they actually love.
Yes. I love it. and sorry for this is nap time on a Friday. And so you're getting the weirdest Kelsey version ever today. And
I love all of it.
Liz would be the person who gets this. So thank you. Okay. So that's amazing. And I obviously love everything that you do, and very much resonate with the being a career driven, business driven person while also navigating parenthood. And I just did an episode all about my mental health and infertility journey and basically the journey diving into how it felt for me becoming a parent. And it was difficult and I was not prepared for it in the way that I thought I was. And as a business person, I'm like, got my processes and my procedures and the team and like all of these things in place. And I didn't really think through the reality of my mental health when it came to like, I am a mother now and all of these things. Yeah. And it's just really nice that this is what you focus on in preparing people to be able to navigate that with grace and more ease and realizing it's not always like sunshine and rainbows and being okay with that and having that support community. So what do you want to share with people who are, you know, navigating this transition?
Yeah. I mean, I just want to say that I really resonate with that. The description you have of your postpartum experience. And I kind of remember watching you go through postpartum because I think you had just helped me out with my website and then you had sweet baby Carter and like, I'm taking maternity leave and like, just kidding, I'm coming back. And it was one of those, like, I think when we're looking at this postpartum experience there, if we haven't planned ahead and if we haven't, it's not that you haven't planned ahead, but if you haven't gone through it before, it's really hard to anticipate what it might be like. And I think there is so much pressure to enjoy the postpartum period and just feel like that is enough. And also feel like you can just show up and do all the things all at the same time. You know, it's like, we can just do, it's like 12 weeks of vacation, right? And that's kind of how I approached my first maternity leave. I was like, oh, cool. I am at a desk job that I like, it's fine, but I think I'd really like to leave. And I've been kind of working like my side hustle, but now I'm like, I have 12, 14 weeks of maternity leave. Like, this'll be great. Babies sleep. I'll just build my business during that time. And I was like, sorely wrong. Like, so wrong. Because I didn't have like the support in place to take care of my mental and social and emotional well-being during that time. Like, physically, sure, fine, recovery, great. I was at home, but I felt very isolated. I felt an immense amount of pressure to continue building this business. And I was still getting emails from my desk job that were like so inappropriate for me to be getting because I was on leave anyway. And it was a lot of pressure to just show up and, like, I want to say perfectly. Like, I felt like I just had to do all the things and that I was supposed to really love this phase. And the fourth trimester has some really wonderful moments. That's like the first 12 weeks postpartum. But it's also really, really hard. It's really, really hard. There are so many hormonal, physical changes, and you're introducing an entirely new human into your family. So whether it's like the first time or the fifth time, it's like, it's a new person with their own little tiny personalities and they're demanding, and it's going to have an impact.
Absolutely. And I really resonate with that. Just thinking that I could, you know, just move on so nicely and it would be so good to take this time off. And it was not. Yeah. It was a lot. I have my trauma around it.
Absolutely.
And now I'm finally in this place where it feels really great to be a parent. I actually really enjoy it. And I'm so present with it, which is one of my big goals. I felt like because of that postpartum period, that presence was really missing because my mind was spinning with so much anxiety and just all of the things. And now I'm like, I don't wish I would have done it differently because I had no idea, but I'm realizing how much I missed because of the mental health issues I was going through. And it's like, I do not want to miss that now that I actually feel mentally stable and healthy. And so I really enjoy every moment. I like sit, I mean, not like every moment, parenting is, you know, yeah. And I have these moments in the morning where I sit and I have coffee and like Carter and I watch some kid shows and I just like snuggle him and stare at his little face. And like, I don't know, I just love that little moment where I'm like, I just get to be here with you and like breathing the same air. And just, that sounds really weird, but that's how I feel. And I'm just like, this is lovely. And I'm going to drop you off at the nannies and go to work because that's also really fun too.
Yeah. It's so funny because I think that we are kind of sold this, you know, as entrepreneurs, like you get to make your own schedule and you have so much freedom, but then you add in the parent piece of it. And all of a sudden it's like you said, like we're recording this during nap time. Our schedules are dictated often by other tiny humans. Even if they're in care, it's dictated by their care schedule. And it's one of the like, it's both a blessing and a curse of having this kind of flexible lifestyle. Like I can hear the kids outside my office. It's lunchtime around here. Like they're making lunch. I was like, can we not do this too loudly? but having, you know, to navigate all of that around. So I'm curious as you built out your business, it's really about a lot about you've planned your business. So you have this flexibility.
Yes.
Right. So what kind of shifts did you make?
So I didn't realize the non-flexibility I would have, which is, it's kind of obvious, but I don't think I physically understood how you literally are never alone. You can never make another choice without taking this other being into consideration. Mm-hmm. And the reality of that was the biggest thing that my mind had to wrap around. I remember the first time I just wanted to drive to Starbucks or something. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't just hop in the car. I have to like pack this stuff, get him ready, like make sure he's fed, make sure he's like no poop in his pants. And it was like this whole additional thing. And like, I had to make those choices around how he was being taken care of. And like the heaviness of that was really, really real. And so I didn't prep for that, for the fact that I never get to make a decision without him in consideration. That's big.
That's really big.
It's big. Yeah. And so the way I prepped, because I'm a prepper, not like the Y2K prepper, but you know, I like being prepared in life and business and everything, was that I made sure that finances and my business were really, really steady so mm-hmm. that those were never a concern when it came to me needing to do whatever I wanted to do. And right. so I was like, I don't know what this is going to look like. I feel totally and utterly prepared. The most preparation that I can do is allow myself to be in a financial and scheduled place where like I can do whatever. So I knew that taking a maternity leave and like having that extend for as long as I wanted was really important to me. And that's why I actually left my full-time job when I did. And mm-hmm. it was 3 years before I actually had a baby. And so I was like, I spent 3 years prepping my business. Like that's insane, right? Like mm-hmm. to have the baby, literally. Like I wouldn't have quit had I not known, like, I'm going to try to get pregnant.
Right.
And that was the catalyst. Like that's mm-hmm. how much I knew, like, yes, I wanted to have a baby and mm-hmm. I knew I wanted that freedom and flexibility. I also knew I needed a stable business and I needed a team. And those yes. were the factors that went in so that I could have that flexibility when I got there. And that was really, really great. And it still was like a weird experience.
Totally. Like no matter how much planning you do, there's going to be the unknowns. And so it's like, you need to plan for like all scenarios. Like all scenarios, like a lovely postpartum experience, a hellish postpartum experience, and make sure, like, I just want to highlight some of the things you had said, like having that support in place, being able to delegate to team, but also like support in your inner circle of, you know, of people. So you know who you can call when like shit hits the fan.
Yeah. And so in your experience, like, because I didn't really plan for a postpartum baby experience, mm-hmm. I like plan for a postpartum business experience.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that like you recommend people doing as they are planning for their postpartum child experience?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that's missing so often from the, like the talk around birth. Like we plan, like we do the birth plan, right? And like, I use that loosely, like, cause again, there are so many unknowns with birth, but we plan for this big event. We talk about the first few hours afterwards, but then we spend zero or minuscule time planning for what life looks like after you've introduced a new human into your world. It's just like, oh, you'll know what to do. It's fine. And so actually sitting down with your partner and doing a postpartum planning, like either a workshop or working through, like just talking about like, hey, what are areas in our life that we need support? So I run the Badass Birthers Club. So one of our exercises that we go through is, we have two that are like really key for postpartum, is a delegation exercise. So you go through, you sit down with your partner and you list out everything that you do to make your house and life run. And then you go through and you mark what is absolutely necessary. Like this is like things to like pay the bills, to keep the lights on, to make sure everyone's fed, and what is ideal. You know, what would be nice to have done, like, I don't know, dusting and mopping and things like that. And what can probably be let go? For me, it's dusting and mopping.
Oh yeah.
So going mm-hmm. through that exercise and then you go through it again, and we do something really similar in businesses, right? But you go through it again and you say like, okay, do I actually have to be the one to do this? So for business, like, yes, I am the one that needs to show up to do my job within my company. most of the time. We're working on that delegating piece.
Yes.
And like, my husband is the one that needs to go to his job. Like, I can't go do that for him. We can't outsource that. They don't really appreciate that. But like, I don't necessarily need to be the one that's making dinner all the time. It's what we're used to, but we can delegate that, even if it's uncomfortable. We don't need to be the ones that are doing laundry. And so you end up with this list of things that you can now say like, okay, these are essential and I don't need to do them, which means that we need to have somebody else do them. Whether that is your partner, somebody else in your family, you always have friends that are like, how can I help? And they're like, and you're like, I don't know. Cause it's really hard to ask for help. You can say, you can come over and do some laundry. And it's about, you know, putting the ego aside, which is really, really hard because we're sold this like super mom trope. Like, we should be able to have the career and have this perfect family and a spotless house and organic, beautiful made meals every evening. And we should be able to do it all by ourselves and, you know, still have this like amazing sex life with our partners, right? Like, this is like what we're sold. And no wonder so many of us feel like we're crumbling, right? Because you cannot possibly live up to that expectation, or at least do that in a sustainable way without help.
Nope. And I love that you're saying like, oh, like make a list of things that people can come and help you with, even if it feels uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's really, really good. I do still feel like that uncomfort for sure. Yeah, so it's like something like we have to grow as people to be able to accept that. And it's also for me, I didn't have any family close by. Mm-hmm. And so asking for help was your friends and some of them. And they're also, I mean, weirdly, all of my friends locally, like we all had babies at the same time. So we were like all going through it, like within 6 months, like five of us had babies. So it's cute now though. Yeah. Well, post pandemic, you know, whatever. Right. And so that was really, I'm not used to asking for that type of support.
It's really hard. And if we do it ahead of time, it's like such an easy exercise to do now. Like if you're currently pregnant, because you're like, okay, cool. You don't have somebody like tearing out your hair and you're not super exhausted quite yet. And so if you can do that exercise now and like post it on your fridge, like put it in a meal train when people are like, what else can we do? Like, here's a list of things, pick a day, like turn a meal train into a chore train or something.
I love it. My husband and I, while we didn't do this for postpartum, we have been very good about making sure like our duties and our chores are very delegated to either somebody or each other. And we're weirdly 50-50. We talk That's about awesome. It all the time. We're like 50-50, like hat. And there's that line from Stranger Things where they're like, so you compromise. That means you're half happy. And so we always go 50-50, half happy. Because like, we don't really want to do it, but we're like, this is how our relationship works. So that like, we're both half happy, but fully happy, or, you know, I don't know, like I would love to not have to do the dishes and blah, blah, blah. But like, then Todd's not half happy and I'm full happy. And that's not okay for our relationship. Right. We're full happy. Like,
full happy. And it sounds like you guys do a good job of checking in, which is one of the other really important things, because as you step into postpartum, I don't know that we always talk about like, I don't know if they see this on like sitcoms or things like that, but you see this like, oh, we're going to have a baby because our marriage is struggling and the baby will bring us together. And there is some bonding that happens. Yes. But also stepping into the reality of postpartum where like you're kind of just coexisting for a while. And so finding ways that you can connect and cultivate intimacy like outside of the bedroom is really, really important for like your mental and emotional and that relationship. And so we do something, we call it couch time. And so it's like 5 minutes every day. We have a little meeting on the couch and we try not to talk about diapers or like, how much did Arlo nurse today? And did Edie get that thing done? And, you know, like we try to avoid logistics because we can spit back logistics back and forth. Sometimes I feel like a project manager. I'm like, okay, here's what needs to be done today. Here's who's going to do it. And it's like, but this is just about asking like those open-ended questions. Like, how are you doing? where do you need more support? Like, what's going on in your world? And for us to go back and forth and establishing that, even when you're tired and exhausted, like adding in a bonus foot rub is great too. Just saying. Mm. Can be like a really, really,
we delegated thing. That to, we got a Theragun and we actually,
oh, there you there go.
And like, we'll Theragun each other.
Oh my gosh. That sounds amazing.
Or we do ourselves, you know, like, yeah. But that's a thing we like in Carter, like we, it's not okay for children, but like, no. We put it on like barely touching him and he like giggles so hard and he thinks it's so funny.
So funny. so funny.
Cause he's like, I'm vibrating like all right. over the place. for those of you who don't know what a Theragun is, it's a massage tool.
Yeah. Well, now I'll get ads for it on your Instagram. I feel like they are always listening.
Always
listening.
They are, but it's wonderful. What are other ways to form that intimacy with your partner outside of the bedroom? I'm curious. Yeah. I'm like, I mean, we need more of that.
I think understanding your love language is really helpful. And I know that might sound cliche, but knowing that physical intimacy is going to be off the table for a while. Sure, we can talk about like the 6-week appointment where you get cleared for sex and exercise, but often a lot of times like birthing people may not feel ready for sex. And you might, and that's great. Like, good for you. I know personally, I did not. I was like, I am touched out. You have a tiny human that is nursing or is at least on you a lot of the time. And the thought of having anybody else touch my body, thank you, no. And there are hormones that are encouraging that, right? Because this is what's happening when you're like, when you're producing milk, like your body is like, we don't actually want to make another baby right now. So like, we're going to steer clear of that. Thank you, no. So understanding your partner's love language and your love language, how you like to share and receive, because they won't always be the same. So I like to, I appreciate quality time. Like that's my love language. Whereas my partner is more like physical touch and quality time or acts of service kind of fall in there. And so knowing that like, maybe we can just cuddle and like, that's okay. Right. Or doing some sort of shared activity. So another like another exercise that we do in the program is something called the joy list. And I encourage everyone to do this all the time. And so you make this list basically of each partner would do this of things you like to do by yourself and things you like to do with another person. And that could be your partner or not. And then you break that list down into things that are free and things that cost money because we want this to be accessible at any point. So these can be really, really simple things. Like I really like to go for a walk. That is free and something I like to do both by myself and with other people. But it's like one of my like daily things that I really like to do. Listening to a podcast, going to sit at a coffee shop, Kelsey taking bubble baths, right? Like these are things that you can list. And especially when we do shared activities with somebody, that's something that can really cultivate that intimacy and shared experiences outside of like poopy diapers. Where we're like constantly talking about that, right? Or like, I just snack schedules, all the schedules. It's like, how can we build a shared experience outside of that? So if you can put together your joy lists, that can be really helpful. It can also help you connect with yourself again, because I'm not sure if you experienced this, but I know for my postpartum experience, I felt very, very lost. Like I was like, okay, I have now like a vessel for another human. Mm-hmm. I don't recognize myself physically anymore. Like bodies are so awesome and so weird. There's so many changes, but it was like, this is not how I felt like I'd lost a piece of myself in that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, I really resonate with that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so by having this joy list, it's like, what little things can we go back to that we know we enjoy that are part of us that make us feel like ourselves? And implementing those every day. So that's why I tell people to keep it really simple. This is not like I really love to go to Disneyland with other people. It's like, cool. That's awesome. It's probably not something you're going to implement every single day.
Yeah. Like one of my things is I like to experience new places, like doing new things excites me. I get really, when we do the same thing too much, I get very like womp womp. so it could even just be like, let's go explore this park. that's an yeah. hour away. Like that totally. Could be really cool. Yeah, that is amazing. One of the things I've realized lately, especially not just because of being a parent, but because I think of pandemic and some of that sameness mm-hmm. that has been going on, is I've been lacking fun. And yeah. so even you just saying that, I'm like, how can I integrate more fun? Because a lot of the things I've done or like to do were off the table for so long. And now all of right. a sudden we're like getting that back. And that's just a really great idea to kind of have that joy list. It's like a fun list at the same time, mm-hmm. joy, fun. It's that same emotion, I mm-hmm. think. And I'm going to go do that after this. Okay. That's I'm really so great. Yeah.
I'm excited to hear what's on your list. It always kind of surprises me. I'm like, what do I think is fun?
I know. Well, I haven't thought about it. And so the bubble baths mm-hmm. definitely have been something that are just my go-to. Like, I know that when I do that, I just feel better and I get to relax and it just feels great. And I haven't thought about it in other ways. And even as you were talking, I was thinking how I have so much fun when Todd and I do a home project together.
Yeah.
And even this week we need to repaint our porch, but like, mm-hmm. I'm so excited to like go to Home Depot together and like have this fun and like do a thing and then like get to sit down at the end of the day and like hang out and chill and like grill because we had a day accomplished together. Like right. that feels like so much fun to me.
It's just a way to like, again, cultivate that shared experience together. And that can be kind of hard when we get into that same, when having kids is so routine oriented or the focus is all on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely. What other things would you want to share for mom, parent, preneurs?
Yeah. Expectations. I think getting really clear on your expectations as you're moving through your business and operating with or business and postpartum, like, and giving yourself a lot of grace. So again, like I had planned this postpartum leave with my first kiddo that I was like, okay, I'm just going to do all the things. We didn't really have any support in place, but I was like, I'm just going to build a business. It'll be fine. I'll be home all the time. And my expectations were just so out of like, they weren't based in any kind of reality. And so applying that to after my second and third pregnancies, it was like, okay, here's what we're going to do. Like, if I can get a quarter of this done, it's like you create those like good, better, best goals, right? Like this yes. is what I would like to focus on. But even going through, I remember, so like I went through Aligned Business Academy before I was a coach, and like Becca, my coach in there, was helping me create like my postpartum plan. And I remember before I stepped into Academy, I was like, Kelsey, I'm pregnant and I'm not like, I want my business to be in place, like set up and ready to go, because I don't want to work. I don't want to feel like I have to work when I'm in postpartum. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And after our second pregnancy, like I had set up my business pretty well. So I had like content running for 13 or 14 weeks afterwards, and we worked our asses off to make that happen. That also wasn't sustainable. So I was going into that postpartum experience feeling really, really tired. So I knew I didn't want this for our third experience.
Yeah.
And it was really nice to be like, okay, what do I need to have in place? Okay. I need to have like my client funnels. My business needs to be like operating in a place where it's not just going to disappear if I take two months off. And then really lowering, it's like so sad, lower your expectations, but seriously lowering my expectations about what I would want to and be able to accomplish each week in my business and in my life.
Yeah.
And so if I got more done, great, but I like wasn't going to be showing up and recording podcasts all the time or working with clients one-on-one. Like I needed to either have a coach in place or have my program set up in a way that like they didn't need me there.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's like that minimum viable list. It's like,
yeah,
what do you need to do to like survive to get through this? And mm-hmm. I think this just works when you're overwhelmed in general too. And saying like, our expectations can be so high and we don't need to meet them. It's doing what we need to survive sometimes through those. And that's it. And I remember before I had Carter, I had a list of like must do these things, before everything happened. And I finished my tasks like the day I went into labor.
My gosh.
But my water, I finished them early and then my water broke that night. I was like so excited to have a full like couple weeks where all I got to do is like lay around and watch Netflix before baby came. And I was so like, gotta get all my tasks done. And then I went into labor that night, or my water broke that night. I was like, of course, like the day I checked off my last to do.
Of course.
But yeah, just lower expectations. And I think this is something that I have it. Todd always says this to me too. I don't, he's like, low expectations keep you really happy. And I'm like, sad, but true. It does.
Yeah. It's like, we don't always have to be in hustle mode. Like, and that's one of the really, like, our bodies naturally go through seasons. And even in pregnancy, there's like a season that happens. So, I mean, you can start like first trimester is spring. And so we're like full of new ideas and kind of a little nauseous. And then second trimester is summer. You have all this energy, like you're ready to go. You're super creative. Like, this is a great time to like start planning for postpartum and what you want that to look like and getting those things in place. And then third trimester, really allowing your space. It's like fall. So it's kind of, things are getting a little bit quieter. You're harvesting everything that happened in summer. Like, it's just, everything is starting to calm down. And then really that fourth trimester after babe is born is really that winter. And that's like when we're inwards, we're calm, where things are quiet, and just allowing ourselves to have that kind of cyclical approach to both our business and our life, I think allows for more growth, creativity. And again, just having a relationship with your business and with your family, because they don't need to be at odds with each other, like that you actually enjoy.
Absolutely. Thank you, Liz.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to share before we hop off?
No, I think I'm good. So happy to be here. I don't know. What else do you want me to share?
Like, I don't know. I'm like, again, you're getting my weirdest Kelsey energy ever today. There have been some things happening. And yeah. Do you have any, this might be weird, but do you have any questions for me as a parent navigating, or things that, like,
I guess as you're looking at your, you know, if you guys decide to have more kids in the future, how would you approach it differently than you did the first time around?
That is a good question to think about. I'm like, I would change so much. I guess another weird thing is, like, I do find security in having that financial cushion. Mm-hmm. So being in a place where we can afford to do whatever we want to do as far as like taking care of us and getting the support, because we don't have the people in place necessarily around us from family and friends and things like that. We just know how much support was necessary. And so it's getting those finances in place to be able to get whatever support we want. And so
postpartum doulas.
Yes, I am getting a postpartum doula, or I don't know, night nurse, whatever that is. I want to have somebody actually come to the home and take care of the baby so that I can sleep, because I know how important sleep is. I mean, for everybody, and specifically, I'm just not okay if I don't get the sleep. And I think that added on to all of the hormonal mental issues that I have had in the past, that was something that just aggravated that even further. And so I'm just going to do a lot of things to support me in getting that support. Another thing, I'm staying on my anti-anxiety antidepressants through pregnancy, which was something I went off of for Carter. So this is something I will continue on them pre and postpartum, which feels like a really big decision. Because that was something I like very specifically decided to like get off of for Carter. And I now know that was not worth what ended up happening for me specifically. So that's a big change that I'm doing. And I do think, I mean, the business is still like, it's still set up in a way where it can run. Like, I didn't do like that happened the last time too. So that was really nice. I feel like I have, obviously, I have an amazing team supporting everything, Liz. Hey, hey. and just like all of the aspects, like my business really is at that place where it can run and allows me to like take the time I need to do me, do family and things, and yeah, vice versa. I'm like, our team can do that too, hopefully nicely. Yeah. And that's cool to be in that place. So just even more set than before.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's, how about you? Like, how was that like navigating with like baby number two and business and, or mm-hmm.
With our last kiddo?
Yes.
It was just so much easier this time, like just so much easier. And I think the big realization is that I had and have had over the last several years of being a parent is that it doesn't have to be either or. And again, it's like, there's so much mom shaming and, oh my God, I can't believe you're going back to work. Oh my God, I can't believe you're staying home. And it's like, friend, you need to do what feels best for you. And I like to remind people that you can absolutely have this career or business that you totally love and be a fantastic parent. They can coexist. It does not mean that like, you're going to be like, I'm not clearly not like hanging out with my kids right now, but they know that I am engaged and that I love them very much and they're getting the support they need. And I know because I can be here that they are being well taken care of and they're getting the support and love that they need. Like everything works out. But what it requires is planning and support in place. And so we can't just pretend, like it goes back to that superhero mom trope, that you can't just pretend like you can just do it all by yourself. And yeah, I know, I also understand that that comes from a place of immense privilege, that I like, we are both in a place in our lives that we can have that support in place. So this may not resonate with everybody, but I think it's important that you talk about, I think it does more damage to say like, yes, you can have it all, without talking about the support that you actually need to have in place to make that all happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And that it's, I'm never doing this on my own, like privilege and like just so much that goes into that. And I think it's just that in order to have that happy feeling and the good planning, it's like, it's just all the mm-hmm. support.
Yes, absolutely. So
that is huge. And I think the thing I'm looking the most forward to in the future is just like enjoying a little bit more that fourth trimester.
Right. Because like it's a season. It's so temporary. It's so temporary. And it can be, we humans are complex creatures. We're allowed to have multiple emotions existing at the same time. And so it can be so lovely and wonderful. And you can also hate it. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, it's okay.
You have so many posts about that. And every time I'm like, yes.
So it's like, I think we need that constant reminder.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can be so grateful to be holding this really beautiful, tiny baby and also desperately wish to have some autonomy at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be both.
All right. Well, Liz, where can everybody find you on the internet?
Yeah. On the internet, you can find me. Oh, I'm on TikTok now. TikTok, I am. It's so fun. So you can find me on TikTok at Badass Birthers Club or on Instagram, Liz Winters Wellness. And I'm over at LizWintersWellness.com with a beautiful site done by Pine Gate Road.
Yay. I think the way you said TikTok is like the TikTok. Most millennial TikTok.
I know, I totally said it wrong. Hot dog. True millennial over here.
I know. Well, I'm like
with the kids on TikTok on the
TikTok.
And that's what you can expect more of.
Yay. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much, Liz, for coming on and sharing this space with me today. Have a wonderful day.
Happy to be here. You too.
Thank you so much for spending time with me today. If you've enjoyed the show, please take a few seconds right now to leave a rating and review on iTunes. It's so simple and helps us so much. This is incredibly helpful for getting the show into more ears so that we can make even more impact. I'm sending you so much love. I hope you have an amazing week. You've got this.